All right. We're continuing our series on a living sacrifice. Having said that, let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Thank you, Lord. We'll be reading verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, reading verses 1 and 2. Name again of the series is A Living Sacrifice. A Living Sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it reads verse 1 of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by and in view of the mercies, plural, of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing to God. So notice it's not just any sacrifice. You can't just throw anything on the altar. He gave us three adjectives as to how this sacrifice should look. He said that you present your bodies, that's what we are to present, to offer our bodies as a, and what we're to do with our bodies is presented as a sacrifice. And what kind of sacrifice is it supposed to be? Living, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual, rational, logical service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, this age, thoughts, ideas, philosophies, theories, sayings, actions of this world, but contrasting conjunction, be transformed by the renewing renovation of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is. Here is three more adjectives: that which is good, pleasing, and perfect. There's a lot in there. We've been unpacking this probably for the last, about the last 3 months, I guess. So if even more than that. And we've just gotten on the first part of verse 1. Present our bodies. We've been talking about the body, that the body that he talks about is not just the physical self. It is the physical body, the flesh, the bones, right? The members of the physical fleshly body. But to present the body apart from presenting the mind, the will, to presenting our emotions, our heart, our soul, then we're just presenting some sort of lump to the Lord. It's not just presenting a lump of flesh and bone and blood to the Lord. It's presenting all that it entails. And so we've been talking about the heart and the soul. We said that sacrificing the body first begins with the heart / soul. So we went over Deuteronomy, this is our review. We went over Deuteronomy 6 and 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, your energy. We're not loving the Lord our God with all of our energy, with all of our inward. We spend our energy on the things we want to do that our flesh wants to do. And then when we are spent, that little bit we try to give to God, but usually he doesn't get the best of us. That little energy, we just take it and say, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it later on. Anything that concerns the things of God, our might, Mark uses the word strength. We tend not to use our might and our strength when we're at the height of it for the glory of God. That's why it's a blessing for young people who are saved. They are a blessing because they can use their, they have abundance of strength and might and energy they can use for the Lord. However, the Lord does take the old heads. You know, I'm 63 years old, so thank God he takes old heads too. You got to learn to use our energy as well. But he wants our energy. We tend to go over these words, heart, soul, might, energy. You know, all that's an inward. All that is in the body. So when you present that body, you're presenting your heart and soul and energy as well. For you are to take that and love the Lord your God with all
of it.
With all of it. We sin against that command every day. Yes. All of us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Mark 12:30 says, the same, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, he adds there, and with all your strength. Notice the mind is in there too. We asked the question last week, how do we do this? How do we love the Lord our God with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our inwards? Let's start there. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. This bears repeating. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Look at verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? And by the way, if you're born again, if you're saved, if you're redeemed, if you've been justified, declared righteous, he's talking to you as well. He's talking to that person today. Amen. Don't rest on your laurels and say, well, he said Israel, that ain't me. I ain't Jewish. I'm black. I'm talking to his people. Israel, yes, that's what was written contextually then, but it certainly applies to us today. Yes. So when you hear this verse, realize he's talking to you if you're born again. So what is it that he requires of us but to fear the Lord your God? I know it's ad nauseam, word of life. You hear it, you've been hearing this for years, but I'm going to keep repeating it. The pastors have weakened the word fear. Because they believe erroneously that God should not be feared. Shaking your boots, knees knocking, teeth chattering, fear. Stomach churning, fear. Well, that's what the contemporary pastors say in today's evangelicalism. The Hebrew word fear did not change. Because folks want to make God appear more palatable to today's society. The Hebrew word still means shaking in your boots, terrified of God. It doesn't only mean that. So they're right in saying that it means to be in reverence, to be in awe of, to revere, and to honor. But it also means to be very afraid. We've lost fear of God. We've taken his kindness for weakness. Because he's been so gracious and so gracious and so gracious and so merciful and so forgiving time after time after time after time. Amen. Yes. And you know that. I know that. If you're honest with yourself, you know that you've gotten away with many, many, many sins that he has not done anything to us about.
Amen. Amen.
That doesn't mean that he doesn't care that we sin. Don't take his grace and his mercy as signs of weakness or as signs of it's no big deal. Sin is always a big deal before God. So we are to fear. What does it require? The first thing, we are to fear the Lord your God. Remember that we're asking the question, how do we sacrifice our heart? Right? We said that. Let's go back over. We're talking about sacrificing or presenting our bodies as a living, as a sacrifice. We're saying that that begins with our inwards, with our heart and soul. So now that we're saying, now that we know where to start with sacrificing our bodies, which is our heart and soul, our inward, we're asking now, how do we do that? What does sacrificing the heart look like? We're finding it out right here. There's some things we ought to do. There's some verbs that we must act out. First, we must fear the Lord. Secondly, to walk in half of his ways. Come on, give me a break. Three quarters? I mean, that's pretty good. What about 99 and a half? Won't that do?
No.
The old song said, that won't do. 99 and 99. He said, all means all. They gave us the question, what's left after all? Nothing. He said, walk in all of his ways. You know, the Lord is so gracious and merciful, we think we can walk in half his ways and still be just wonderful in front of him. No, we are gracious and merciful. Mercified, those aren't words, gracified and mercified. Two new words there, Susu. Gracified and mercified. No, we're not all right. He's just merciful.
Amen.
Because his command, just because he is giving us, some people say, what about he's the God of the second chance? He's the God of the 10 million in second chance.
Yes, he is.
Are you kidding me? He said all. We're not walking in all. What does walk mean? It means to order the entire of your behavior in line with God's word. I said, order the entire of your behavior. That's your thoughts, your words, and your actions, which together, put together, make up your lifestyle. He is saying, order your lifestyle in line with the word of God, which here he says, his ways. His ways are his word. That's why you should be going to a teaching ministry so they can teach you his ways so that you can then go out there and walk in them, live in them. Manage to live by not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because that's where his way is found, in his word. We're to walk in his ways. So we are to fear the Lord, walk in all his ways, to love him. What does loving him look like? The next part, to serve the Lord. How do you serve the Lord? Obedience to his commands. Just that simple. To serve the Lord your God and to do it with all your heart. There it is again. And with all of your soul. So what does the first step of sacrificing our bodies look like? It looks like giving him our heart. And that looks like obeying his word. All of it. All of it. Don't ever give yourself a pass because God didn't zap you from heaven above.
Right. Amen.
Don't ever give yourself a pass.
Right. Thank
you, Jesus. Yeah, be on your knees grateful. Mm-hmm. Thankful. Lord, help us to get like that for real. Help us not to take your mercy and your kindness and grace for weakness. You are still a holy God that demands perfect obedience. In Jesus' name. Look at chapter 26 of Deuteronomy. Same chapter, book rather. Go down to chapter 26, please. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Verse 16. Thank you. Again, we're talking about how do we love the Lord our God and serve him and give him our heart, mind, and soul through obedience. By the way, the Lord God told Saul, King Saul, after he disobeyed God and brought back the finest of the cattle and king of the Amalekites, Agag, brought him back alive when the Lord God said, kill everything, everybody, everyone, animals, everything. Saul thought he would be like Ford Motor Company. Their slogan back in the 80s was, Ford has a better idea. Saul thought he had a better idea than God's command. And we laugh at that, but you know, we all know, we think we have better ideas. Oh, God wants us to do this, but you know what? I think this would be a little bit better. This is better for me. So Saul thought, what if I keep these beautiful cattle? Look at all these, I mean, that's juicy. And we keep the king alive and we can do something with him. And when Saul saw the prophet Samuel in the distance, off in the distance, he said, Saul, hey, as if he was going to receive your disobedience.
Lord told him, Lord spoke to Saul and told him that obedience is better than sacrifice. Why am I bringing that up? Because the Lord here in the New Testament, under the new covenant, is letting us know that sacrifice is obedience. How do you sacrifice your body? How do you present your body? What does that look like? It looks like obeying him. Because whenever we talk about loving him, we're talking about obeying him. Biblical love, scriptural love, godly love is never about emotion. Has never been. Biblical, scriptural, godly love is a verb, meaning it is action. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's what love does. And then it tells us also in that great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it lets us know what love doesn't do. Well, how it behaves and how it doesn't behave. It's a verb. Yeah. You're going to sacrifice your body to me, then that means you're going to obey me, because you can't do one without the other. Deuteronomy 26, 16. This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You see those words, statutes and rules, my Bible has, my translation has. He's talking about his own word. Those are just synonyms of his word. My commands, my statutes, and my rules. What is it? You shall therefore be careful to do them. Do what? The commands, statutes, and rules. To do them with, notice again, third straight, all your heart and with your soul. Here it is again. Deuteronomy 10, 12, we just read. To walk in all his ways, love him, serve the Lord your God, and do all of that with all your heart and with your all your soul. Be careful to do. That's the verb, do. Which is obedience. Joshua 22. Let's go there. Joshua 22. Look at verse 5. And this is where we stopped the last time. Joshua 22, verse 5. And it reads, only be very careful. Now you added the word very to careful. Be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the slave, that's what that word is in Hebrew, of the Lord commanded you. To love the Lord your God. How? To walk in all his ways, keep his commandments, cling to him, serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Doing those four things. Let's go back. Be very careful to observe. Observe means careful attention to what? The commands of God. To scrutinize carefully the command of the Lord. To study the commandment of the law of Moses. And to examine. Careful attention, scrutinize, study, and to examine the commandments and the law that Moses, the slave of the Lord, commanded you. Not lightly glance at. Not pick and choose what it is that the Lord would have us to do, but to carefully dive deep into those commands and see how they govern and control every area of our lives. If you're on the job, the Lord has commands and ways to be as an employee or an employer. Whether you're the business owner or whether you are an employee. Whether you are driving on the freeway and somebody cuts you off, there are commands to govern that. First of all, love your enemy. You may say, well, this dude come up, I'm mad at him. What are you supposed to do? Love him. Cut him off back. Run up to his jumper and the bumper and just scare the mess out of him. Go ride on the side of him and give him a dirty look. Or give him some hand signals. Yeah, that's not godly. No. The rules that are in God's word cover all areas of our lives. Yes. If you are a husband, he has rules how we are to govern and treat our wives. If you are a wife, then how you ought to treat your husband. If you are parents, how you treat the child. Child who has parents, how he or she is to respond to the parents. It's rules all through there. Pastor, how he's to treat the congregation. Congregation, how to treat the pastor. Pastor and congregation as a church, how we ought to operate before them. It's rules all over the place. In the grocery store. Don't switch a tag off of something that got a lower price in the clearance aisle and put on something that ain't on clearance. That's stealing. We laughing, but then we learn those are practical things. You may have access to pencils at work, but they're not your pencils. You don't go to take 40 pencils and, oh, I can just give it to all my kids. I ain't got to go to school shopping. I don't have to go to school shopping. Praise the Lord. Really? It's like it don't take all that. Yes, it does. It does take all that. And that's the problem. We've been doggone thinking that too doggone much. It don't take all that. It ain't that deep. It does take all that. And more. We're giving him very little of what we ought to be giving him. Give him more. But by that I mean love him more, which means obey him more. It's going to be the bottom line. Obey him more. Let me throw a carrot out there. You want more peace in your life? I'm going to sound like Joel Osteen for a minute. You want more peace in your life? Hold on, give me a minute. My dear brother or sister, you want to live with more peace in your life? I'm going to give you the real reason. Obey God.
Amen.
You want more joy in your life? Obey God. Jesus left us, one of the legacies that he left us was his joy. He said, I give you my joy. And this joy that I'm giving you, the world can't give it and the world cannot take it away. But there's so few Christians, real, genuine, legitimate children of God who are not walking in joy. Who are not living in peace. And at the root of that is, we're not obeying God. Because the depth or the amount with which you walk with God is the amount with which you walk in joy. The amount with which you walk with God and obey God, or walk with God, I mean obey him, is the amount with which you'll experience peace. So if you're lacking joy and you're lacking peace, you're probably lacking in obedience. Constant, consistent, and continual obedience. You don't have to go see a therapist. You don't have to smoke no weed. You don't have to drink no wine. You want peace? Just obey God. It'll have the same effect without the smell. And police officer's not going to drive by and smell something funny because you're looking funny. You're just feeling good because you're obeying God. There's peace in your soul. There's peace in you. There's a rest. Let's take Psalm 23 out of the funeral mindset. Just put it into the regular. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes you lie down in green pastures, leap beside still waters. That's peace. Green grass, conquering enemies, anointing your head with oil till your cup runs over. Too many people of God want all of the blessings of Psalm 23 without putting in the work. Isaiah said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace.
Yeah.
Perfect peace. That's a tremendous verse. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee, then trusts in the Lord forever. Look at all what you have to do. It's conditional. It's not automatic. You got to keep your mind stayed on him. You got to trust, which is the New Testament faith in him. Because you trust in him, and then he commands, trust in the Lord forever. It's you relying on the Lord. You're relying on his word, his commands, his sovereignty, his person, his majesty, his holiness, his wisdom, You trust him. Even when questions are unanswered, even when things don't make sense, even when you don't understand the why, you still trust him. That's where the peace comes. Because there are things that will happen. There are times, many times, things are going to happen and have already happened in your life that just did not make sense. And the ones who weren't never truly born again will walk away from God. And the ones who are truly born again will never walk away from God. They may be confused like Job was on some things, but glory be to God, they're not going anywhere. Because where else are we going to go? Peter told Jesus, where else are we going to go? Only you got the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go? But ain't no other God out there. There's no other Jesus that shed his blood. If I walk away from this Jesus, where am I going to go? We on 22:5 again. Only be careful to observe, scrutinize, pay attention to, study, and examine the commandments and the law of that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you to love the Lord your God, how to walk one in all his ways. Keep, that's in the present tense in the Hebrew, meaning that it is a constant, consistent, and continual keeping of his commandments. To cling, which means to follow closely to him. We're to follow closely to him. If you were to make a parable out of this, if Jesus were a person that was here on earth and human, we would be stepping on his coattails. We're so close. Stepping on his heels. Follow closely to him and serve him. That word there in the Hebrew is as a slave serves his master. That's what the word serve means. As a slave serves his master. And how do you do that? With all your heart and with all your soul. So the first way that we do this is sacrificing our heart and soul, is to obey the Lord our God constantly, consistently, and continually. Another way to sacrifice our heart and ultimately our bodies is to be grateful, to be thankful. That is disappearing off of the landscape throughout the fabric of human society. Just basic thank you. Look at Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 12. Well, I see you shaking your head on that one. Just basic thank you. Psalm 86, 12. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God. With my half heart, I will. I thought I could slip it by you. Notice how he wants all of us. All of us. Love you, Lord, your God, with all your heart and all your soul. Give thanks. He could have said, just give thanks. But he then qualifies that with my whole heart. This is what this psalmist is professing before God. This is what I'm going to do. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name, and I'm going to do all of this forever. Are we prepared to give thanks forever? We can't get folks to give thanks for 5 minutes. Is this not a blueprint for how our attitude ought to be? It is. This gives us direction. Lord, let's turn this into a prayer. Father God, I thank you that you will help us to give thanks to you with our whole heart, and we will glorify your name and help us to do this forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 13. For great is your steadfast love. Hebrew word chesed. Toward me, you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, or the realm of the dead. How many has the Lord times have the Lord kept you back from death? How many times Were you in a situation where you should have been killed or you should have died?
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, some of you is more than once. Amen, JR. More than once. He brought us back. Is he not worthy of our praise? Look at Psalm 9. Psalm 9. The ninth stanza, Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks. Not I might. Or I'll think about it. He's declaring before God, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. That's why you get out there amongst the open space out there and let folks know what God, G-A-W-D, what God has done for you. Am I right? What he's done for you. Ooh-wee. Whoo, what he's done. Look at these testimonies out here. Make a brother want to shout. Woo! My Uncle Mike back there, one of his favorite songs was, I'll be by testify. Oh, yeah. Whoa, your goodness and your grace. I can't even hear that song when I was breaking out crying. Just tears of great joy. What he's done for me. How he brought me out. How he brought me through. When there seemed to be no way. He made a way. Rivers in the wilderness. Highways in the desert. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo-wee. Thank you, Jesus. I'll never forget. I know I've told you this many times. The day, that evening, it's about 9:15, July 11, 1968, found out that my dad had just died, 9 years old. When I think about myself today, clothed in my right mind, with a desire to serve the Lord, I know that he is who he says he is. Amen. He's a keeper.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Take your time.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders, because he's a wonder. I don't know how he brought me out. I'm 9 years old. You got people at 49 that can't handle, let alone 9. What do you do with that at 9? You don't know where to compartmentalize that. You know where to put it. But I have to know how. Here I stand before you. The proof is in the pudding. It was God who did it. It was God who did this. And I will tell of all your wonders. I will give thanks. The more mature you get in the things of God, the more grateful you'll be. Because the more you realize, whoa, this ain't been none of me. You know, none of this has ever been me. It's always been him. When you're young in the things of God, you're dumb and stupid.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You're ODing on nonsense.
Right.
And so we got to thank the nerve, Alfred Fellow Horton Jr., to think we got a piece of this. Are you serious?
Right.
It's all him.
Amen.
If we're forever grateful.
Amen.
And you're thankful.
Yeah.
You're grateful more than ever before, giving him the glory that he so richly deserves.
Yeah.
I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell everybody and anybody of all your wonders. I will do that. For it is the Lord that brought me out. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 103. Beginning with verse 1. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Notice he's talking to his inward, the real him. Remember, in your body is the real you. The body is just a house. In there is your spirit. Yes. You, remember Romans 8:16, for the spirit, capital letter S, signifying the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, testifies, King James says, witnesses to our spirit. So inside of your body is your real you, who is spirit, and then there's the Holy Spirit living inside. And the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:16, communicates to your spirit and informs you that you are a child of God. So there's communication happening inside of that body. This is just a house. David recognized, hey, you know what? I got to tell my inside, the real me. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is what? Within me. See, within. See the within? Within me. Bless his holy name. Many, many Christians have said that and don't know what it means. It's familiar. And we tend not to analyze things that we hear so much. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give honor to the Lord. Uplift the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Oh, my soul, the real me. Not just some external outward show. That's why it don't matter. We got recorded music. Been here 22 years. The Lord ain't sent musicians. Does that hold up the show of us bless the Lord with our insides? Whether it's recorded or real music, you still got to bless the Lord. Doesn't change the qualification. Oh, you got real music. You can kind of just flub it. Don't worry about it. In fact, just dance. Do what you do. I don't care anymore because you got real music. No, he's still requiring that we bless him with our whole heart. And when you are in a funk, and you feel in some type of way, you got to speak to yourself and encourage yourself because folks may not be around. Am I right, Miss Glenda Jane? You may have to do it all by yourself. Yeah. Right, Miss April Lou? Until they got to go to the bathroom and just walk away from the home. If you're at the workplace, just got to get away from everybody. Go into the bathroom and have a powwow. You and the Holy Ghost and God Almighty. And you got to tell yourself, encourage yourself, bless the Lord, oh my soul. David said, why so downcast? Oh, my soul, put your hope, your trust in God. Got to tell yourself. Don't let these people around here rob you, attempt to rob you of the joy that Jesus left you. Amen. David said, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. He's commanding his soul to bless the Lord. That's what sometimes we read too fast. This is a command, but it's given by David to his soul. Slow it down a little bit. Selah, Hebrew. Pause and calmly think about that. He's telling his soul to bless the Lord. Why? Because there are times we forget to bless him. We don't remember to bless him. We don't want to bless him. He said, override all of that. You command your soul. Bless the Lord. Soul, right now. And in case everything inside didn't hear me, I'm commanding all of y'all. And all. That is what they mean. Heart, soul, emotions, the will, all of it. Bless the Lord. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget none of his benefits, which are many. But he starts to name a few. Who pardons all your iniquities. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's enough to just Just shout all over the church right there. Just that alone. You can just close it up and go on home shouting all the way home. Because he's pardoned all our iniquities. And he heals all our diseases. Unfortunately, the charismatics have misinterpreted that part. Heals all your diseases mean that you should never be sick. That's not what that is saying. Let's take the keep it in context. If you do have a disease, is what it's saying, he's the one that heals it. It's just that simple. We took it all out. We ain't not supposed to be sick. That's not what it's saying. This is a fact. He heals all your diseases. So whatever disease you have and you've been healed from it, it was God who did it. That's all it's saying. And thank God he does. He don't owe it to you. Because what he owes you is death, right? The wages of sin is death. That's what he owes us. Uh-oh, we don't like that one. All have sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of that sin is death. Think of Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, to get ready to close. Proverbs chapter 3. Boy, the time flies. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust, lean on, rely on, depend on the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Boy, boy, we do that just the opposite way too often. We lean on our own understanding way too often. You know, when our understanding doesn't make sense, then we tend to turn to the Lord. Well, that don't make sense. I can't figure it out. Oh, Lord, what you... You know why that's scary? Because if your understanding does make sense and it sounds logical, rational, and reasonable, then we just kind of go with it because it all makes sense. Well, okay, let me read. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, only if your understanding don't make sense. And then, is that what I thought? That's, they added some more words to this meaning. I don't know. It said trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding, period. There's a period after that. Not a hyphen or the three dots adding more stuff. I don't care if your plans are sound, solid, and a $1 million moneymaker. If God ain't building that house, they that build it are laboring in vain. Meaning that their building efforts are vain, worthless, empty, and useless. Make sure God is building the house. Lean on him. You want to talk about sacrifice your body. Part of that is sacrificing your ideas and your dreams for his glory. I said for his glory. For his glory. Not your glory. For his glory. Last thing. Proverbs 23, verse 26. This is God's plea to us, and we're going to close. God's plea to us. Even though in the context it's a son, father pleading to his son, but it's God's plea to us. Proverbs 23, verse 26. Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me your heart. That's God's plea to us. Give me your heart. And let your eyes observe, that word again, pay careful attention to, scrutinize, study, and examine my ways. Simple, it's what God wants from us. Give me your heart. And scrutinize, examine, study, observe my ways. That's what I'm asking for you. If you go back to Romans 12, you think about the first part of verse 1. I beg you, I urge you, I beseech you, in view of all these mercies. those mercies that were delineated and grossly listed out in Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 11. We spent about a month on just grossly listing the mercy, never going into it, because we'll be in there till Jesus come back. It's so many mercies: redemption, salvation, condemnation, unconditional election. Oh my Lord. Glorification, justification, sanctification, all of those mercies. Freedom from sin. How about that? The power of sin, the presence of sin. And one day, the power of sin and the penalty of sin, rather, and one day, even the presence of sin. Not yet the presence, because it's still there. In view of all these mercies, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Although he uses eyes, that's symbolic, not just look at the word, which too many people do. They look at the word of God. They hear the word of God, but they're not doers of the word of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, I thank you that your word speaks plain to us. And I just pray this prayer over us today before you, for your presence. Help us to give you our whole heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And help our eyes, symbolically speaking, to observe, to pay careful attention to scrutinize, to study, to examine your ways at all times, to obey constantly, consistently, and continually. Help us to be constant, consistent, and continual doers of your word and not just hearers only.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus.
For in the book of James, you did say that this and only this person will be blessed in their doing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.